pastor? Are you the pastor? Oh, so you're the pastor at Oceanside. Folks, those are statements that I hear all the time. I got a friend down at the gym, and every time he sees me, "What's going on, pastor?" Oh. The denominational world believes that the preacher in a congregation is the pastor of the church. My friends, those individuals are gravely mistaken. When you turn into the pages of God's Word, you'll find that the word pastor itself is only used one time in the New Testament. And that place is found in Ephesians 4, verse 11. Notice what Paul writes. "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." There is absolutely no doubt whatsoever that in that verse, the Apostle Paul is talking about offices, positions, works within the body of Christ. But I want you to note that he makes a clear distinction, does he not, between an evangelist and a pastor. My friends, there is a distinction between a man who is a preacher and a man who is a pastor. In this particular text, the Greek word for pastor is poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N. And here's the definition of the word: a shepherd. Another definition, a herdsman. A third definition, one who tends the flock. So we have evangelist, and we have a shepherd, or one who tends the flock. Those are two totally different offices, two totally different works, different positions within the body of Christ. Now, what I want us to understand is this: elders are the ones who are responsible for shepherding the flock. Elders are the true shepherds of the body of Christ. Let's show that that is the case. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, the Apostle Paul calls for the elders of Ephesus to meet him at a city known as Miletus. They come to him and he speaks to them about his ministry among them. And I find it interesting in Acts 20, verse 28, he refers to them as the overseers of the church. Folks, they are the ones who are overlooking the work. They are the ones who are the rulers, if you will, of the congregation. But in that same passage, he commands them to feed the flock of God. Now, when you look at that little word feed, it is the Greek word poimeno. It comes from the same word that pastor comes from in Acts chapter 4, or in Ephesians 4, verse 11, poimen. They are the same root word. Here's the definition of the word: to tend as a shepherd, to feed, to keep the sheep, to act as a shepherd. Notice that Paul is speaking to who? The elders of the church at Ephesus. And he tells them, "I want you, elders, to shepherd the flock of God." My friends, shepherding involves much more than just feeding. Yes, the text says, feed the flock of God. But the definition of that word is much more than that. It's much more than feeding. It means the act of caring for sheep. It involves the tending of all the needs and all the things required of a shepherd with regard to his sheep. This same command is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Notice what Peter writes: "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." I want you to note that. Who is he talking to? He's talking to elders, the same ones that Paul was talking to in Acts chapter 20. Not the exact same men, but the same individuals, elders. Now notice what he says in verse 2. "Feed the flock of God which is among you." Poimen. Act as a shepherd. Tend the sheep. Care for the sheep. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. My friends, elders, not preachers, are the true pastors of the sheep. of the local congregation. Question, can a preacher be a shepherd? Absolutely. If he has met the qualifications, if he is appointed into that office, he can be one of the elders, one of the pastors, but his role as a pastor and his role as an evangelist are two distinct roles. In this congregation, I am not an elder, thus I am not a pastor, I'm simply the preacher. Now, I said all of that in order to focus our attention on the work of elders. We began this series 2 weeks ago before I left. And we talked at that time about the broad general works of elders. This morning I want us to focus a little bit more on the work of elders in this way. Elders are shepherds. Thus we need to ask ourselves this question. What does shepherding involve? We're going to be looking at five works, five labors that elders have as shepherds of the flock. Number one, they need to know their sheep. Jesus talked about shepherds and shepherding in John chapter 10. Notice what he says in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. Now listen to what he says. And know my sheep. You see, Jesus is a shepherd. Jesus is a pastor. And notice what he says, I know who my sheep are. That little word know means this, to perceive, to understand, to have knowledge of. 2 Timothy 2:19. Notice what Paul writes, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. My friends, as our Lord looks down from heaven upon this earth, He sees a group of individuals that are His sheep. They are His flock. And He knows exactly who those individuals are. And in like manner, elders have to know exactly who their sheep are, and they have to know something about those sheep. Elders must know the sheep. Who is in the flock? Who is not in the flock? You see, they need to know exactly who is in my care and who is not in my care. Question. In years gone by, when there were many shepherds and many herds, do you think a shepherd knew exactly which sheep were his? Absolutely. And there were occasions when those pastors, when those shepherds would meet in a road and their sheep would intermingle one with another. Do you think one shepherd knew his sheep from the other? Absolutely. He knew exactly which sheep were his and which sheep were not his. And in like manner, elders need to know exactly the same thing. Which sheep are mine? Which sheep are not mine? There are some sheep over at Dean Road who are not under the shepherds at Oceanside. Why? Because they're under the shepherds at Dean Road. There are sheep over at Arlington who are not under the shepherds at Oceanside. Why? Because they are under the shepherds over at Arlington. You see, the shepherds at Arlington know their sheep. The shepherds at Dean Road know their sheep. And the shepherds at Oceanside must know their sheep. The question is this, how do they get to know them? You see, it's not a matter of just saying, yes, they belong in my herd. It's more than that. They know exactly all there is to know, all they can possibly find out about those sheep. Well, number one, they do that by conversations with you, don't they? You see, when an elder is talking to you, he's trying to learn more about you. Notice also, in-home visits. Folks, if an elder comes to your door, don't be scared. Invite him in. He's just trying to get to know his sheep a little bit better. Now, if you've been missing for about a month or two, you might want to be scared. But for the most part, just bring him in. He's just trying to get to know you a little bit. They get to know you by listening. They get to know you by asking you the right questions, folks. Now, here's something that's interesting. Elders are not omniscient. There is absolutely no way that an elder can know everything about all of the flock. Only God can do that. And one reason I point that out is this, is it shows that an elder's job is tough. You see, an elder has to seek out information about his flock, doesn't he? If he's going to know anything, he's got to work at gaining that knowledge. God doesn't have to do that. He just knows who I am and all there is to know about me because he's omniscient. But another reason I say that is this. There are some members of congregations who make it very difficult for elders to get to know them, don't they? You see, they want to be very private. They want individuals to stay away from them. They don't want anybody involved in their business. And when that happens, it makes an elder's job extremely difficult, doesn't it? Point number two. Elders, as shepherds, have the responsibility of guiding the sheep. I want us to look at two passages. The first is found in John 10, verse 4. The Bible says this, "And when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them, and they follow him, for they know his voice." Folks, Jesus again is the one talking. He says, when a shepherd puts his sheep out of the corral, when he sets them out of that sheepfold, he goes before them. An elder's job is to be out in the front of his congregation, leading that congregation. We're all familiar, are we not, with Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Folks, you see, the Lord is a shepherd. And what does He do? He leads His people. Shepherds are never supposed to be in the back pushing those sheep. They're always supposed to be in the front leading those sheep to where they desire those sheep to go. Now here's two points that are interesting. They're almost contradictory. Without guidance, sheep go nowhere. They just kind of stand around looking dumb. Where do we go? But notice this. Without guidance, they go everywhere, don't they? Because you see, they're eating grass here and eating grass over there and eating grass over there, and all of a sudden, the sheep are just everywhere without guidance. You see, it's the elder's responsibility of making certain that those sheep are geared and guided in a very pointed and very certain direction. Because without guidance, they either stand around or they go everywhere. Shepherds guide us, folks, in many different ways. They help to guide our studies in the Word of the living God. They help to guide our growth in Christ Jesus. You see, they're watching to see if we are really using our talents and our abilities and that we are stepping up and doing the things that we need to do for the Lord. They're guiding us in our labors in the kingdom. That's the reason that elders form programs in the body of Christ, so that individuals can be a part of those programs and use their talents and abilities in the labors of the kingdom. They guide us away from dangers, away from all of those things that could cause us to lose our souls. For you see, ultimately, they are seeking to guide us through the very gates of heaven itself, folks. That's their true destination. That's where they really want to lead you in this life as shepherds. But again, as we said before, some sheep are not easily guided, are they? You see, there's a few tough nuts out there. And I bet you every shepherd knows those two or three or four sheep in their flock that just give them fits all the time. They're just not easily guided. Now, here's something we as humans need to understand. Folks, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The Bible says this, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. As they that watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Notice that the writer says, I want you to do two things. I want you to obey the elders and I want you to submit to the elders. Folks, you're supposed to be a sheep that is easily guided. You are to bring those individuals joy and not grief. You are not supposed to try to stir up a stink in a congregation. You are not supposed to make their labors more difficult than they are supposed to be. It's hard enough as it is. You and I, as sheep, need to obey and to submit to our elders as long as they are in harmony with the will of the Almighty God. But you see, some just don't know how to do that. And sometimes elders have to spend a lot of time seeking those sheep that refuse to be easily guided. Elders have to bring the lost home, don't they? According to Luke 15, 4 and 5. They have to find those sheep that are wounded and bring them back to the fold and nurture them and doctor them and take care of them until they can restore them back to health. Isaiah 63, verse 9. Those individuals who are distracted, those sheep that are ignorant and wander off from here to there, they've got to bring those back and redirect them in the cause of Christ. Isaiah 53, verse 6. We could go into a lot of detail right there, couldn't we? About an elder's role to those sheep that refuse to be guided. Point number three. Elders are to feed the sheep. Folks, when we talk about feeding the sheep, the first thing that a shepherd does is leads those sheep to what kind of pastures? Green pastures. I don't know about you. If I'm a sheep, I don't want dead grass. I want good grass. If you want to know how a sheep feels if you're leading to dead grass, go to a salad bar and get old, nasty, wilted lettuce. You don't want that. You want good green lettuce, don't you? That's what sheep need, good green pastures. But you know, sometimes it's wintertime, and guess what? There are no green pastures, are there? I found it interesting that shepherds then had to provide their sheep hay. They had to provide them what is known as green chop or grains in order for those sheep to continue to eat during the winter months. Folks, that which elders are to be fed is the Word of the living God, aren't they? But you see, if sheep aren't fed that, if we're not fed the Word of God, then growth will be stunted. Production is going to be minimalized. We're going to find that they become very sick and weak. If sheep are not fed, their market value is going to be lost, isn't it? And the possibility is very good that they will die if they're not fed. Elders are exhorted to feed the flock of God. We've already looked at both of those passages, haven't we? Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Tend the flock of God. Make certain that these individuals eat the necessary things that will produce health. And again, that's the Word of God. Folks, it's the Word of God that produces faith. Romans 10, 17. It is the Word of God that enables us to grow as Christians. It is the Word of God that nourishes the soul. Acts 20, verse 28 and 32. It is the Word of God that enables us to be productive. You see, we become like green trees planted by the rivers of water and bring forth our fruit in their season. Psalm 1, verse 3. I'm going to make a point here for a reason. You see, elders, shepherds, are responsible for feeding. Now, if that be the case, guess what? The elders have to decide on the feeding times, don't they? That's an elder's job. I've got to feed this flock. We've got to make certain that the Word of God is given to these individuals, and thus they set aside times in order for the flock to be fed. A.M. worship, A.M. Bible study, P.M. worship, Wednesday night Bible study. Folks, who set the times for us to gather so that we can be fed? The shepherds did they not? I realize that the Lord established the Lord's Day for worship. But Bible classes, Sunday evening services, guess who established those feeding times? The elders did. The shepherds did. Why? Because God said, I want you to feed my sheep. Now, sheep, listen to me. Eating is not optional. Got that? Eating's not optional. God knows that sheep must be fed. He's commanded the elders to feed the sheep. Thus, the eating is not optional. Now, that's not the way many members of the body of Christ look at feeding times, do they? I don't have to go to Bible study. Not a big deal. It's just optional. Sunday night, don't have to go to Sunday night. It's just optional. Folks, it's not optional. Elders say, here's the time when the Word is being fed. You and I as sheep are supposed to what? Eat. It's just that simple. Notice this. Elders are going to be judged on how well they fed us. And guess what? Sheep are going to be judged on how well they ate. We need to get that through our heads. You know that? Because that's the gospel truth, folks. Feed the flock of God, shepherds. Sheep, eat the food that's provided for your nourishment. Point number four. Elders are to care for the sheep, aren't they? There's a lot of bad things that can happen to sheep. One of them is this, wild animals. They can go down some extremely dangerous paths, can't they? You see, sheep are just kind of ignorant little fellows. And all of a sudden they find themselves in a place where they really don't need to be. Sickness and diseases can come upon sheep, and there are many bugs and parasites that can come upon sheep as well. Now the question is this, who is supposed to take care of those kind of things? Who's supposed to be the one that provides the sheep when they are afflicted in those kind of situations? You want to know who that is? The elders. Find a passage in James 5, verses 14 and 15, very interesting. It says this, is any man among you sick? Now watch this answer. Let him call for the elders of the church. Now wait a minute, what did that passage say? I think you misread that, Vic. Is any man among you sick? Let him call for the preacher of the church. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you're sick, who do you call? You call for one of your shepherds. You're a sick sheep. Who is supposed to know about it? Who is supposed to care for you? You see, one of the reasons that we have the role of elders and evangelists flip-flopped is because we have allowed that to transpire even within the church. Elders have hired preachers to do elders' work. That's not the work of a preacher, per se. Now, I'm not saying you can't call the preacher and he can't come by and see you. But folks, the work of caring for the sheep is that of an elder, of the shepherd. Now, note this. The job, it's a very intimate job, isn't it? Anytime you're caring for a sick, lost, wounded sheep, that's a very intimate job. You get to know some things that you really don't want to know. You know that? You find out some information that nobody else really needs to know. It's also a tedious job. Not only is it tedious, it's a time-consuming job. One of the things that Psalm 23 says is that a shepherd anoints his sheep's head with oil. Do you ever even stop to think about what that means? You know, what does he do? Just go pour oil on him for no reason? You know, just to do it? No. Folks, he's got to take each one of those sheep, pour oil on the head, and what he's really trying to do is get it all in the ears of those animals so that the bugs and parasites don't afflict them. And he's got to do that to every one of those sheep. Folks, it is a time-consuming job. Not only is it time-consuming, it is also a taxing job. It is a job that is a long-term job. It seems about the time you get one well, there's another sick. About the time you find one, another's wandered off. You're going, good grief. When am I ever going to quit shepherding? Never. Never. It's a full-time job, isn't it? And here's what's interesting to me, it's a thankless job. You know what? For the most part, sheep, they don't even think about what the shepherd does. And they never walk up to him and say, bah, thank you. Folks, that just doesn't happen. You see, it's a thankless task. Now, what's interesting to me is this. We could talk about the qualities needed to be a good shepherd in caring for the sheep. Folks, a shepherd has to have compassion. He's got to suffer with the sheep. He's got to be an individual who is willing to invest time. He's got to be an individual who has a lot of knowledge about a lot of different things. One individual may be in a sin. Another individual may be afflicted with a false doctrine. Another person may just be weak and unfaithful. He's got to know how to deal with a lot of different things. An elder also has to have a lot of understanding. He's got to have patience with his sheep. And folks, there's going to be a lot of sacrifice by an elder if he does his job well. You see, he's got to care for every member of this congregation. You might say, well, that's only about 50 or 60 Christians. You try it. For a week or two, year or two, 5 years, 10 years. It's a tough job, guys. Fifthly, elders have to protect the sheep. I find it interesting something David said to Saul on one occasion. The Bible says this, and David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there went out a lion and a bear, and took one of the lambs out of the flock. Now think about that. David's the what? He's the shepherd, isn't he? And now we've got this enemy. We've got this lion and this bear, and they're out there seeking to devour one of the sheep. I don't know about you, but a lion and a bear are some scary animals. They're a whole lot bigger than Victor Eskew is. And folks, David at that time was just a little shepherd lad, around the age of 17, 18 years old. Do you know what he says that he did? And I went out and I smote him and delivered him out of the mouth of him. Now know what he says. And when he turned upon me, I smote him and slew him. Folks, here is a shepherd willing to give his life for the sheep. Can you imagine old bear having one of those lions and you just run up and grab that old lion, jump on him in order to deliver the sheep? And then the old lion turns on you and what do? Just grab that old bear and just stab him to death. Take that, old lion. Folks, that's the job of an elder. He's got a hard task. You see, elders were warned about wolves in Acts 20, verse 29. For I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Folks, have you ever really seen a wolf? We think of wolves as being what? Dogs. You ever really seen a wolf? It's more like a Great Dane wolf. They're big animals. Huge teeth. And they can tear up a lot of stuff quickly. And Paul says, I know that there's going to be wolves that come into the flock of God. And what are elders supposed to do? They're just supposed to run? Oh no, they're supposed to do like David, are they not? And they're supposed to rise up and slay the wolf and protect the sheep. I find it interesting. One of the qualifications of elders in Titus chapter 1, 9 and 11 through 11. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Folks, those are individuals who speak against and teach against the Word of God. For many vain and unruly talkers and deceivers are gone out into the world, especially they of the circumcisions. Now listen to this. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Folks, there are individuals in our world who are false teachers. There are individuals in our world who are seeking to lead individuals astray. They subvert whole houses. And if they can, they will subvert whole congregations of the Lord's people. Who is to arise and stop their mouths? An elder who holds fast the faithful word. Folks, elders have to know a lot about God's word to do their job effectively. It's not an easy task. They need knowledge. You got to have courage. There's been two times when my heart has just raced like crazy before I had to stand up and do something. One time is when I was in a debate confronting a holiness preacher. Folks, you don't know how terrifying that is till you have to do that. You know that? And another time was when I was in a congregation. I told you about this not long ago. I was in a congregation where a man was teaching false doctrine. He was teaching the gap theory of creation. And I was the only nut there who raised his hand and confronted him. But before I did, my heart was just thumping. You see, it takes courage to confront those who are false teachers. It's not an easy job. Notice also, it's going to take some stamina. It's going to take will. And guess what an elder better do? He better arm himself with the armor of the Almighty God, hadn't he? Folks, elders have a tough task, don't they? Five jobs we've talked about this morning. They have to know the sheep. Know them by name. Know as much as they possibly can about them. They've got to guide them. Guide them to green pastures. Guide them ultimately through the gates of heaven. They've got to feed them the word of the living God. They've got to care for the needs of the sheep. And ultimately, they have to protect them from any harm and any danger that could come upon them. Question: do elders know how to be shepherds? You see, when these words were written, they were written 2,000 years ago. Things weren't exactly the same as they are now. Guess what one of the main occupations at the time these words were written was? A shepherd. You know, there's been many times that I've thought that when a man says, you know, I want to be an elder, what I wish we could do is this. Well, you got to quit your job, and for the next 2 years, we're going to send you off to a place, and you've got to be a physical shepherd for the next 2 or 3 years. You got to pass the training of a physical shepherd. Can you imagine that? Got to change your clothes for a robe, get you a cane, and out into the wilderness you go. You lead them to their pastures. You care for them. You anoint their head with oil and their ears. You take off the bugs. You care for those who've been wounded. You go looking for those that are lost and bring them back. You leave the 99 and you spend a day or two out there searching. You rise up against the bear and the lion and the wolf and you fight those animals off. Do that for 2 or 3 years. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Because you see, then those men could come back and guess what they'd know? I know exactly what it means to be a shepherd. Exactly. Because it is an awesome responsibility, folks. I want to close with one passage found in Ezekiel 34, verse 7. It was spoken by the prophet Ezekiel, meaning that he was speaking forth the word of God. Listen to what he says. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. My friends, there's no higher office that a man can take in the United States of America or in the world at this present time than the office of an elder. Did you know that? That is the highest office that God has ordained for a man to find himself in. President Garfield, it is told, said that when he became president of the United States, he said, I stepped down from being an elder into the office of president. You see, he understood the role that he fulfilled as an elder in the body of Christ. Sheep, let's help our elders. And let's be good sheep, obedient sheep. And let's follow their lead and their guide and make their job one of joy and not grief. You know, we could change that wording there on that last statement, couldn't we? We could say something like this, therefore, ye sheep, hear the word of the Lord. We need to do that as well. Or we could put this in there, therefore, all ye in the world, hear the word of the Lord. My friends, the word of God's been given for our salvation, has it not? The word of God tells us exactly what we need to do to become Christians. There's five simple steps. You hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17. You believe in the Christ as the Son of God. John 8:24. You repent of your sins. Luke 13:3. You name the name of Christ. Confess His name publicly before men. Matthew 10:32. And you're immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Do you need to do that tonight or today? We want you to. Dear Christian, is there sin in your life? Do you need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you? Do you need to come back to the fold of God? Won't you do that now as together we stand and as we sing?